Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Your home for everything Melodifestivalen. This is Melfest Monday.
Here we are then for one final get-together to chat all about Melody Festivalen, at least for 2024. The Norwegian twins of Marcus and Martinus were victorious in the final in Stockholm on Saturday night. Let's remind ourselves of their winning moment.
Ni där hemma har valt att ge Unforgettable med Marcus och Martinus.
An astonishing point haul from the pair, 92 in total from the public, just 4 away from a clean sweep from those watching at home. It all looked like a foregone conclusion even before that, when they had a 42-point lead after the international juries had dished out their points. No matter though, it was another spectacular show from beginning to end. There is so much to debrief that I'm certain, even from the outset right now, that we won't be able to cover it all. But with help from Aftonbladet journalist Toby Eck and Melfest commentators Bellekvist and Tina Merrison, we will try to cover as much as possible over the next 60 minutes or so. Plus, with Eurovision itself being hosted in Sweden this year, we'll discuss what their chances are of becoming the first country in 30 years to win the whole thing back to back.
When you aren't listening, find us on social media at Eurotour Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
So let's welcome our panel then. It is the return, I'm pleased to say, of the dream team of Toby, Bella and Tina. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Woo, woo, woo. The crowds are cheering. Tina, Bella, James.
It's probably the first mistake I'm going to make today is by introducing you all at once and just getting just a whole load of noise thrown at me, but never mind. Shall we go through, first of all, the geography of where you all were last night? Because I was watching at home. I'm sure plenty of other people listening were at home. But you three were all in the same building, but probably a long way away from each other. So Bella, first of all, Mm-hmm. You were in your commentary box. Whereabouts were you?
I was located to the left of the stage. If you're looking towards the stage, in a little booth that has very little oxygen in it after a while. we sat on the side together with William Lee Adams doing the commentary for SVT Play, the English language commentary.
But it was based on the floor, right? It wasn't high up. It was rather, it was on the floor. Yeah.
Yes, it's on the floor. Right in front of me, I've got all the seats of rows, people sitting, and then I have the stage a bit further away, and that's where we've been for the past 3 years. The first year, of course, was during the pandemic, and I was in this cellar somewhere under in a little cleaning cupboard or something. We're on the floor, right next to the radio commentator booth.
And how is the view? Do you have a good view of the stage and everything?
I do. I see the stage.
Reasonably.
I wouldn't say it's a great view. No. But of course we are commentating on the TV screen and what people are seeing at home. So we have a screen in front of us. So I mean, in a way it's kind of almost good that we don't see the stage so well, because then we'd be tempted to react to that. And we need to remember that what people are seeing at home is them. If there were to be any kind of delay or difference or graphics or whatever, you know. So, yeah.
And Tina, where were you? Because obviously we've seen you on every show throughout the series, sitting alongside Ronnie Larson. I can never quite tell exactly where you are, in the arena. Whereabouts are you actually sat?
So in TV production language, we were sitting stage left, which is the opposite of Bella's left, basically. and this time, because of it being quite, there's a lot of seated audiences, and they obviously bought expensive tickets, so they need to be able to see. So those times that we were on cam, we were sitting, they take out our table basically to the where we are located, which is just a few what can we say, maybe 2-3 meters from stage. And during the off-cam moments, of course, we were sitting back on stage left with screens, and where basically the floor managing production, those people sit. Yeah.
I did wonder, because every time it cut to a shot of you both, there was always people in the background. I was thinking, surely they're not sitting there the entire time. Those poor people behind you cannot see a thing.
During the entire rehearsals and as well as the show, I had a child sitting behind
you,
me.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have issues with finding words today. I had
a
child sitting behind me, and the only thing I was thinking, because I was also wearing this see-through sequined green dress, I was like, this poor child has a view of my backside, and although I might say it's not a bad one, but it's not necessarily appropriate. It's not appropriate. So every time we were going out, I said, I apologize. I apologize. It will be just for a few seconds. I'll be out in a minute.
I love it.
That's hilarious. Do they wheel you out and in? Do you sit, or is it it being like a wheelie
process? They put
out
our chairs and then we walk there and sit there. And
Speaking of that, though, one of the things that amazes me is all of those individual chairs that are on the... This sounds so boring. We will get to the competition in a moment. But all of the chairs are on the floor of the arena, and they're all individual chairs, aren't they? Whose job is that to put out every single one of those chairs? Surely one of you three here knows who that might be.
I promise it's just one person putting out all those thousands of chairs.
They have crew. I wasn't there when they sort of built the floor, when they built the arena floor. But usually there's like a 2 or 3 people that goes around with these stickers to put on the seat numbers. But these seats were the friends' seats. They actually have numbers already. So probably the 2-3 people that usually go around with the stickers, they just went around with the chairs this time.
And they're linked together. This is very detailed, but when we had to walk from the booth over to the green room area, because we were meant to be on the after show, but then there wasn't any time for us, sad face. And then we had to fight the crowds of people and also try and move these chairs, but they're rock solid together. So yeah, that's an unnecessary detail, but there you go.
It was an unnecessary question for me to bring up as well, so never mind, Belle. I walked you into that one. Toby, what was your chair like in the press room?
It was lovely. I was in the press room, which is in the building right next to the arena room. So we could hear the crowds through the walls, mostly because the crowds in France are so massive. So when they start stomping the floor, the whole press room starts vibrating. It's rather cool, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, I reckon it's probably one of the best moments of that entire Melfest tour, isn't it? To get to the final, have those. How many, remind me, 35,000 people in that arena?
28,000 in the final this year. It kind of depends on how big the stage is, because France as an arena can take much more than that, but it kind of depends on how you build the stage and where you can put all the seating. So 28,000 this year.
I feel like there were less last year, right? Like maybe it was a 15,000 or something, wasn't it? A lot less last year. Or am I just dreaming that?
I think, because I don't think they sell equally. They sell less tickets for the dress rehearsals, so they don't have the upper levels open. But during the actual broadcast, they open it all up as much as possible, meaning that you sit like a mile away.
Basically, nosebleed section. It's so hot. It's so high up.
Yeah, my first ever Melfest in 2019, I was right up in, as Tina, you would say, the nosebleed section. I was right at the top. So yeah, I've experienced it from right up there. But it's still a good atmosphere because you're in thousands of other people. So it's a great atmosphere. Anyway, shall we get away from all this logistics? We've chatted about chairs and stages and everything. And yet we've got a winner and a great show to talk about from Saturday night, which ended up as Marcus and Martinus as the winners. Who shall I go to first? I'm going to go to Toby, because I've written down here on my notes. I haven't made many. I haven't had much time, but I have written it was a flawless performance. I feel like this is a bit of an open goal because I'm walking right into it, Toby. Do you agree?
I actually do.
Wow.
But these guys, they've been so good throughout every rehearsal. They've impressed me so much. They did so last year, but I think the song is great, the staging is amazing, and they are even better than they were last year. So they are very much so they're so much deserving this victory. Were you hoping for me to kind of badmouth them?
No, I wasn't hoping. I was perhaps expecting, because there's often times where I have an opinion and it often isn't shared with you. So that's the only reason. So no, not at all. But Tina, you were, I think, the first one to interview them for SVT straight after the show. What did they say to you? I guess were they just sort of overcome with emotion, or did he manage to say something to you?
No, they did manage to say things, of course, with lots of emotions, but they were very, very happy. I think they were if I may interpret what they were saying and what they have said in interviews as well, they were not necessarily counting on that big of a support that they got from when it comes to the points from the Swedish voters. I think, of course, they knew that they have a lot of fans, but maybe not necessarily as many as, you know, resulting in the points that they actually got. And also, I think it was a big relief for them, because they said several times, they repeatedly said that they've been working so hard, and they think that this whole thing is so much fun, and that it's an honor for them to actually represent Sweden. So, but they're really, really nice, well upbred boys. They're so polite and they're so likable, and it was lots of fun to have them in their emotional state yesterday.
I guess you've all probably had a chance to catch up with them as well. And Toby, I'm sure you have, and Bella throughout the week for you prepping for the commentary, I guess. Did you manage to have a chat to them in the run-up or even after the victory as well?
Just in the run-up, we meet all the acts ahead of our commentary to get a feeling for how they're doing, and sort of to get them to tell us a little bit about the act, and then also send their greetings to our viewers. And yeah, I mean, everywhere you've been backstage, whenever you've sort of suddenly heard this music come from somewhere, you know, oh, it's Marcus and Martinus, because they bring this little boombox with them, or like a little speaker wherever they go. And then everyone just gathers around them and dances and has it. So they're like,
they've been the mood managers of the entire like backstage area.
Exactly. Yeah, they bring so much joy and energy wherever they go. But when we chatted with them it was really evident to me how seriously they took this and how personal it was to them. I accidentally asked them, how did you feel picking the song, meaning for Melody Festival? But they sort of immediately jumped, we didn't pick it, we've written this, we're part of this, we, you know, and wanted to really emphasize how they've been part of the whole process. And you could tell how, like, they really wanted to make this theirs. And as they said, build the biggest show available, think Super Bowl, think, you know, massive. So they've, yeah, this meant a lot to them. And as you could tell, there were tears and there was, yeah, a lot of emotion. So
especially Marcus was overtaken by his emotions. While Martinez was cheering, Marcus was, he was so, I think he was shocked by the support. And I think that was, those emotions were so true. It was really, really nice to see. And also, I think that they can be really happy that the victory was with both 6 out of 8 12th from the jury, but also 92 out of a possible 96 points from the Swedish audience, meaning that they have the support of the Swedish voters without a doubt. And that is so, that will be so... It will enforce their self-confidence going forward and going into Eurovision, because they were the only pick in Melodifestivalen for Eurovision.
We'll talk a little bit more about Marcus Martinez a little bit later, because we'll talk about Sweden's chances, so we can delve into them a little bit more. But plenty of other artists to talk about. I want to go straight to Medina next, because that was probably the song of the night that really made you want to get up and dance and sing along. Bella, was the commentary box just shaking because of the amount of people who had to jump up on their feet at one point?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, both Marcus and Martinez and Medina, people were on their chairs. I'd say pretty much no one was sat down. And yeah, the booth was absolutely shaking. I thought the roof would come off at one point. Medina really brought that party, and it was so nice to see as well, because both them and Marcus and Martinez have like bonded, I feel, over this Melody Festival, and that they were so happy for each other as well, I think, through it all.
Yeah, we found out a couple of weeks ago when we spoke to Medina on the podcast that it was Marcus and Martinez who told Medina that they were going to be in Melfest this year. They made the phone call to them. I don't know if we've ever seen any footage of that. I thought SVT might have filmed it. Toby's looking confused. Bella's looking confused.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
It was a Melfest Monday exclusive. They told us. Look, that's what happened. You'll have to go back and listen, Toby, if you didn't listen. I know you don't listen to every episode, Toby, if you're not on the episode.
I try to listen to... Oh, I never listen to the episodes I'm on. Because I know I know what has been said, and I don't want to know what you edit out.
Oh, there's plenty of stuff that we edit out, and people will be even more shocked if they heard the stuff we edit out, Toby. Anyway, speaking of Medina for a little bit longer, a great result for the Swedish language, coming in second place. I'm trying to figure out when the last time that would have been. We should have Gustav Dahlander here.
98, or maybe one of.
Oh, there we go. Bella knows the answer. Yeah. Say it again.
I was looking up the stats, you know, in case they were going to win. 98 with Jill Jonsson, Kärleken Är. Carola sang in Swedish, but then changed to English for Eurovision, Evighet. So 98 would have been the last time we said, because they weren't going to change the lyrics to English Medina if they'd won. So.
And also Lena Philipsson in 2004 sang in Swedish, but switched to English in Eurovision. So,
yeah.
I just hope that there will be more Swedish language songs that are contenders for a victory the coming years now, when Medina has shown that it is possible.
Because there has been a real downturn. We chatted about this last week on the podcast. That over the years, you know, since 2002, that sort of rebirth of Melfest, it has been on a decline, the Swedish language, not just in Melfest, but actually succeeding in getting to the final as well.
It has, and you can also feel in the songs in Swedish that are competing, they might not be the songs that become the biggest hits, or if they are songs that become hits, they're not kind of intended as contenders. They're more quirky or fun, and not the type of song that Swedes would vote as winners.
Tina, you spoke to Medina as well, like, again, straight after the show in the green room. I guess, of course, they would have wanted to win, but I guess they must have been thrilled to come so close.
Yeah, their happiness in the after show was definitely not sort of like a poker face thing. They were super proud of themselves, as they should be. And also, I was sort of surprised. Well, I was a little bit surprised that they said, when I asked them, well, would you be in Melfest again? Would you like to try again? And they said, absolutely. I mean, maybe third time is the charm. And I found that very sort of, that they have that they received that confidence, and that they were confident enough in that moment as well to say that. I found that very sort of encouraging and happy, because I think they did a great tour this year with both what they did in the heat and then in the finals, of course.
And I just love how natural and down to earth the two of them are, because with fame, you know, you could easily put on a front and put on a face and act up.
I mean, they've had a few years of it not being well with them. Also, they were not friends for a long time, didn't speak for a long time. So I do also think that this is a celebration for themselves, that they found back to each other and have so much fun on stage.
And the thing is, before they broke, they went their separate ways. They were approached by record labels to be a part of Melody Festivalen, but I don't think that they would have embraced it the same way then as they have now, and perhaps they wouldn't have been as successful either. But the fact that they have now had their first number one hit ever throughout their career, thanks to Kesara. It's been topping the list all through this week in the Spotify charts, until yesterday when Marcus and Martinez for the first time took the number one spot from them. So they are so happy about this success.
Bella, let me come to you next to talk about Smash Into Pieces. Forgive me, it's like a typecast thing where we get a rock song and I just immediately gravitate to you, Bella, but it just seems so natural. So another third place result for them, 2 years in a row, remarkable.
Yes, another third place. I hope they're proud and happy with that. I think they are. I overheard someone say in a canteen or something that they would hope to win, of course, the public vote. But I think, I mean, the amount of children with big signs for Smash Into Pieces everywhere, just that is such a huge win. The children love them so much. But of course, they would have loved to go all the way. They definitely would have.
Perhaps they're too busy for Eurovision anyway if they've won, because I think they're going straight on tour, aren't they? Or they're in the middle of the tour, aren't they? And then they're going to the US straight after. Toby's nodding. Yes, you agree. That is definitely true.
They keep themselves busy. But they do, I spoke to them last night and they were so happy ending up third, and they are so much embracing the new audience from Melodifestivalen. But it's also kind of a little bit of a joke, because they released a children's book a couple of weeks ago. They made it all themselves. It's about APOC. But In a couple of weeks now, they will release their own whiskey brand. And they were like, yeah, we decided to kind of postpone that a bit because it might not really go well together with the children's book.
Wow, they're going for the full range there of their audience. Yeah, I think for them, like, last year was such a surprise. I really didn't, you know, they didn't see it coming at all. So I think that's been the journey for them, hasn't it? That this year they were like, okay, we can do it again. Maybe we can do even better.
I want to chat about Cassiopeia next, because either her result or Dotta's result, which we'll come to in a second, for me was the shock of the evening. I wasn't expecting Cassiopeia to come, first of all, second with the juries overall. And then also in a show with Dotta and Danny Saucedo, she was the best of the soloists overall.
As I've said in this podcast before, and I will say it again, when you have that sort of legacy of being in the Melfest, having successes with your songs in Melfest, and with the things that you do outside of Melfest, the expectations are high, not just from the jury, but as well from the public votes. I think all three of them did very, very well. And I think Cassiopeia probably was the one who had the most fun. I mean, that colorful joy, even though it's a melancholic song, or at least stems from a melancholic feeling, but like it's, I just think it was a great number. It really was. But apparently not as good as Marcus and Martinus.
Bella, did you, sneaking around backstage, did you manage to see Cassiopeia and her outfit? We spoke to her on the podcast last week about that wonderful outfit that she has. Did you manage to like get up close and personal with it?
No, but like I would have loved to have hugged that Christmas tinsel. Like would have been so dreamy. Sadly, I didn't get to do that. When I interviewed her, she was wearing this cool leather jacket or like customized or things everywhere. You know, she always looks amazing, whatever. She's always got these super creative creations.
I wonder if that tinsel thingy, if it sort of itches.
It's not on the inside. I've asked her about that.
Okay.
And she showed me how because the inside is really, really cozy. Oh. But on the outside, if you were to hug her, that would probably start itching.
Okay.
Yes. I was very interested in this. And I listened to Tobbe's podcast and he said this and I was like, I don't have to ask. I was very interested in this fact as well.
but James, as you were speculating, I was also, I wasn't expecting Cassiopeia to do as well as she did. And it's not in,
forgive me, I should interrupt as well, forgive me, but it's not in a, we don't say this in a bad way or in a negative way.
No.
It's because obviously the standard was so high that we might have expected Doctor and Danny Saucedo, who have both finished second before, to maybe do even better than Cassiopeia did.
And also, you and me both, we analyze how the votes can play out in the most nerdy ways. But for me, I had also said that she might not attract all the votes that she could, and she might end up in a poor place. And at the after party, her mom... her parents are the loveliest people. And her mom came up to me and gave me a hug and she said, "You were wrong." She was so happy about me being wrong. And not in a spiteful way, but in that happy, joyful way, because I was also happy that I was wrong.
And I think overall as well, the standard in the final on Saturday night was so strong as well that I think I was just so shocked that then Doctor then finished last. And obviously you could almost look at all of them and then say, oh, well, you know, one of them does. But perhaps Doctor finishing last was perhaps the biggest shock result that there could have been at the bottom.
We had a lot of messages over Twitter who were very, like, we obviously kept an eye on Twitter for messages, people doing shout outs and stuff during our commentary. And people were shocked by the jury, the international jury. And there was a lot of chat about Doctor. So I think a lot of people share that feeling.
And this, I would say that especially amongst the international Eurovision fans, because they've been following Dotter and been supportive of her for quite some time. I was surprised that she was dead last. I would have I had speculated that Lisa Ajax would be there because I thought that people would have kind of forgotten her, or rather prioritize other songs rather than Lisa Ajax's song, even though she sings beautifully. With Dotter, I was expecting the juries to give her greater points, and I perhaps would have guessed her ending up eighth, but not dead last.
And it's similar to Eurovision as well, we should say, where the jury scores come from the Friday night performance, don't they? In comparison to the public votes that come from the Saturday performance. Toby, was there much of a difference between Doctor's two performances, or even any of them, really, I guess?
Finally, because during her heat, she'd lost her voice, but now in the finals, she was able to perform fully, and she had great rehearsals, and she did a great live performance both during the dress rehearsal and both during the jury rehearsal and the live show. So I was surprised by that result.
Do you think it will put her off wanting to do Melfest again?
I doubt that she will come back next year, but give it a year or two. I think that she still enjoys the competition, but she pretended that she wasn't disappointed last night, but you could tell by the way she expressed herself that this was a huge disappointment for her. And I can completely understand that.
We would be here for around 4 more hours if we talked about every single artist. So instead, I'm going to just ask you three to maybe pick one or two, and we'll have a chat about one of those. So Bella, can I come to you? You don't have to pick a favourite. You just have to pick one of the artists we've not talked about yet for us to analyse a little bit further. Who are you going to choose for us?
I'm going to go with J Smith, because that's a song that just, for me, just kept growing and growing and growing in terms of also just like the audience, how they embraced it. It did super well with like streams as well. And it's like it was an interesting one. I didn't know how that was going to go, because I thought in rehearsals, it really has that sort of live feeling. This could go super, you know, people could love that. So that was an interesting for me to follow for that reason. And I thought it might even surprise and do even better. And if I was to pick another one, I'd say Danny Saucedo, which I think made a big sort of a change from obviously his heat to the final. There were a lot of changes, the way he looked and the background visuals and everything. And also for me to sit down and chat with him made a big difference in terms of understanding the what it was all about, and him talking about his child and also how it sort of represents the stages of life. And it was a really beautiful moment, actually, him talking about the gift of Melody Festival. And because I asked him, why do you keep coming back? And he said, well, it's just the most fun thing there is. And also all the people working, just look around you, everyone working so hard to make this thing. Everyone's working their absolute best, like doing their absolute best to create this beautiful thing. And we get to be part of it. What a gift. And that like gave me actually goosebumps when we were chatting about it. So that was, when I sort of saw it with those eyes, that was like a different performance for me watching it in the final.
And speaking about all that, Tina, obviously you've joined the SVT team this year, and you've gotten to see how it all works behind the scenes. From what Bella was saying there, from what Danny had said, does that kind of make a lot of sense to you as well? Now you've seen a lot of how it goes on behind the scenes.
No, definitely. I have been in several big productions, both on SVT, both on Swedish radio, productions where we've collaborated as well. So sure, a lot of the faces working in this production are familiar for me. But with that being said, this is a production team where there is no room for any sort of egos for a person who doesn't have a respectful and professional approach. And I'm very, very happy to say that every single person in this production has been the sweetest person, and as well as being the best at their job. Every single one. Obviously, I haven't met every single one because it's a very big production as well. But most of, I mean, everyone. This has been, for me, this experience was a dream in terms of being so supported by so many people, and how we together support each other to do our best. It was, I know it sounds cheesy, but I have never been a part of a production like this. It hasn't been this fantastic ever.
Tina, may I break in?
You will anyway.
I know. You might not know it, but I am also part of the Aftonbladet Melody Festival and podcast Schlagerkoll. And one of our listeners there emailed us suggesting that he absolutely loves your performance during the this year, but he was also like, I would love for Tina and Ronnie to come back next year doing commentaries, but I would suspect Tina being the host next year.
Jesus. Oh, goodness gracious. I barely survived these 6 weeks just being the expert commentator and doing the pre and post. Listen, it's one of my biggest dreams. It's on my bucket list, but nothing has been asked of me yet. But if Melfest calls, of course I will pick up the phone.
Maybe you have to make the call. You said they haven't made the call to you yet. Maybe you have to make the call yourself.
They already know. I have been a Hermione Granger in Melfest's email boxes and their faces from the moment that they opened the door. I have been putting up my hand every single chance. So they know. They do know.
Tina is smitten by Melfest, and I love it. We've had Marie Sandholt come back to Melody Festivalen just to be in the canteen, providing everyone with cookies and cakes 1 year because she missed the production so much.
I'm fine with serving coffee. I'm not even. I could do that next year if that's what they want from me. It doesn't matter.
As much as I want to talk about the Melfest canteen and stuff like that, we were going to take a very short break, but Bella, Toby and Tina will be back with us right after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Your home for everything Melodifestivalen. This is Melfest Monday.
Welcome back to Melfest Monday from us here at the Eurotrip. It is the final episode of the series, which is very sad, I must admit. But don't forget, we'll still be here every week, every Wednesday, with a brand new episode of the main podcast focusing on everything from the world of Eurovision. I'm sure there'll be reasons every now and again to slip in the odd chat about Melfest. So do join us every week between now and Malmö and beyond. But before Toby, Tina and Bella return in just a few moments, I thought I'd better attend to some housekeeping in the form of the Melfest Monday Hall of Fame. Each week, we've been paying homage to the official Melfest Hall of Fame by honouring some of Sweden's best ever Eurovision entries. With your help so far this year, we've chosen Diggiloo Diggiley as Sweden's best Swedish language song, Fame as the best duet, and Erik Saade as Sweden's best third place finisher at Eurovision. Well, over the last week, you've been voting in perhaps the hardest category yet, Loreen's best Eurovision song. Plenty of you had your say on Twitter, at Eurotrip Podcast, of course, when we put it to a poll, and it seems you're fans of Euphoria more than you are fans of Tattoo. 67% of you choosing her 2012 winner, with just 33% of you going for her winner from 12 months ago. Well, that draws to a close our Hall of Fame for this year. I think we've got some brilliant additions this year as well, and who knows, maybe, just maybe, we'll revisit it again in the future.
Your home for everything Melodifestivalen. This is Melfest Monday.
Well, let's welcome back Toby, Bella and Tina. They are still with us. We're going to look ahead to Eurovision in Malmö and Marcus and Martinez representing Sweden on home soil. And perhaps, should we just get straight into the big question that I've got? And I think many people have got the same question as well. Do Sweden have the potential of winning Eurovision back to back? Now, I feel like we might end up throwing water on the fire straight away by going straight to Toby, but I'm going to do it anyway. do we think it's possible?
There is one answer, and it is no.
Oh.
I've said before that out of the 30 songs in Melfest, we don't have a Eurovision winner this year. But I still think that Marcus and Martinus will do fairly well. The staging is set for Eurovision. It's a great song. And also, even though I haven't listened properly to all the other entries, I feel that it for once, Sweden has a standout-ish song, because there are so many entries that are the crazy acts or the songs that switches genres several times or the pop songs. And this is a proper pop, modern pop song with an amazing staging. And sometimes we say that when in Eurovision, people don't really seem to take on to the stage shows that are kind of like a music video, but this is music video turning into a live performance. And I think it's live enough for Marcus and Martinus to kind of charm the audience.
I'm glad you mentioned the live performance element of it, because I got a message from Tim on Twitter, who got in touch with us at Eurotrip Podcast, who said that Marcus and Martinus were a decent enough winner, though I didn't like their staging. It looked more like a music video than a live performance. And is that a bit of a downfall, I wonder? Because I remember when I watched Benjamin Ingrosso in 2018, and I think I had a very similar thought, that it looked highly professional, highly polished, but it looked like a music video and you didn't necessarily feel a connection with him being on the Eurovision stage. Are Marcus Martinus going to be let down by the similar thing, Toby?
I think that this song is, or Benjamin Ingrosso's song was a little bit more laid back as well. There's more parts of this song where Marcus and Martinus has the ability to make it into a live performance and to make it feel less like a music video. But it might be a little bit of a problem. And in Melodifestivalen, we love creating, every performance is in its own world, in its own small box. And that's that is what creates that music video feel. But we know that they have to change a little bit of the staging for Eurovision, because it's a new stage. And in Eurovision, it's a 360 stage. So they have to adjust it to that. They also have to either cut their backing singer or one of the dancers. So they will have to change things in it. And with that, I'm quite sure that SVT has learned their lesson when it comes to making music videos rather than live performances. And they will adjust, I'm not saying change, but adjust the performance accordingly for the Eurovision audience.
I was going to say that I remember in Lisbon with Benjamin, and I remember other fans saying, oh, it's so typical Sweden, it's so slick and like a music video. And I was a little bit worried that people might say the same now about Benjamin. I think you make really good points there, Tobbe. And I mean, Benjamin still finished, what, seventh? So like, I think that they'll do well. I have the same feeling about the sort of carrier effect from last year of all the sort of crazy, wacky entries this year, that, you know, you're not going to be able to vote for, like, they're sort of going to take each other out a little bit, if you like that kind of thing. And we do have a bit of a clubby trend, not as big, but in Eurovision this year as well. There are a couple of, like, Austria, I mean, it's more 90s, but it's still like a club song. And yeah, it should be really interesting to see actually how it does.
Allow me to dwell on some negativity for a moment, but it will allow you three to perhaps bat it away. Because on social media on Saturday night, there was definitely a lot of comments. I wouldn't say a majority, but definitely a lot of comments saying that Melfest might be, I don't know, stuck in a rut, a bit samey from year to year. Toby, you're giving me a slight nod. But the problem is that when you get to the final of Melfest, it feels like one of the strongest national finals you get across Europe. So it's not necessarily a negative where Melfest is right now, is it?
Not really, but if we look at the final, it was a lot of the same type of songs. You had a feeling throughout that you missed out of some of the components that could have created an even funnier competition. And with that, there were a lot of songs that could have added that feel earlier in the competition. You had Elektra, you had Gunilla Persson, you had Fröken Snusk, you had Scarlett. And I think that had just one of those acts been in the final as well, the feeling would have been a little bit different.
You've done well, because you've almost perfectly segued me into a chat about songwriters, which I was going to bring up, and you've almost just glided me in there perfectly, because it is worth mentioning Jimmy Joger, who I think we almost talk about every single week on the podcast, and perhaps for good reason, because of the quality of songs that he does bring to Melfest. It's the second year in a row, of course, that he's won. It's also the second year in a row where he's had the top three songs in the final, and he's won now for the third time in 4 years. Toby and Bella, I'll come to you both in a second to chat about the songwriters and maybe Jimmy Joger a bit more. But Tina, you spoke to Jimmy on stage last night. You also spoke to Linnea and Joy Deb, who also wrote the song. What did they say to you?
Well, Jimmy barely had time to reply before Linnea jumped into the interview. But what I remember, and you have to forgive me because it's been a long morning, but what I do remember them saying was basically, I mean, praising Marcus and Martinez for being so talented and sort of dedicated to the project. And unfortunately, I didn't have time to speak to Jimmy more about, I mean, his successful streak, obviously.
Bella, what do you think about the songwriters that we get in Melfest? Because obviously we get such talented songwriters from Sweden, not only Jimmy Joger and the two Debs as well, who have both now won for a fourth time, just one behind the record, of course. But obviously there is this small pool of songwriters that we just mentioned there and a few others who write a lot of the songs. But personally, at least I'm going to say this, I don't think it's necessarily too much of a negative if they end up producing high quality songs, which I think there have been over the last few years.
Yeah, it's a tricky one to answer. I mean, obviously they're really very good at what they do, and that's why they keep doing so well. And we do see others as well, and the competition is open to anyone to apply, etc.
If I can just jump in on this, because it also has to do with, I mean, sure, these are the songs and the songwriters that are being sort of displayed for the viewers. But then, I mean, the actual factor that decide who wins is the public. Obviously, the public like a specific sort of songs. This year we had a few total newcomers. I mean, Annika Vicky Halder, she also, I mean, Patrick Sean has been writing songs before Hammond as well. Linnea Gavel has written songs, but this was her first Mello. They did successfully. But then we have these sort of newcomers that they're there, they're doing their best, but they're not necessarily getting the public vote. So, I mean, I'm not saying that they're not good enough to be displayed. Everyone should be saying, and we should, in Sweden, generally, when it comes to the music business, we need better representation in terms of songwriting, and that is in all genres and then on all the stages and all, like, all the sort of platforms. But I mean, it's also sort of, it's this loop as well, and we just need, I mean, it needs to be stirred, it needs to be shaken sometimes, and I think that there are efforts to do that in Melfest as well, but maybe we just haven't reached that point yet, that tipping point where it actually switches and changes over to the audiences, the singers and the songwriters and Melfest to be mature enough to actually sort of embrace a new form as well. But we cannot can the success, I mean, the thing that we have now as well, because in that case, it wouldn't be interesting pop culture.
And also, since Jimmy Yorker was the name mentioned, he was a newcomer just 4 years ago. He had never competed in Melfest before 2021. He had an immediate success that year, being one of the songwriters for the winning song, Tusse. And there is something special with Jimmy Yorker, because he's extremely talented, but he's also his positive energy has everyone wants to write a song with him, because he brings in so much positivity into the room as well. And if there is a group of songwriters or one songwriter, and they get asked, who else can we bring in here? They want Jimmy Yorker, both because he's so extremely talented, but also because of the pleasure of working with him. And this is something that you can really notice behind the scenes, and how people are praising him because it's so fun to be with him and he's so talented. But one of the problems, of course, with Melody Festival and perhaps becoming a little bit or conserving a type of sound, it is the ongoing songwriters camps, because yes, there are new people coming into those camps every year, but there are also a lot of the same people, and both SVT and the record labels are kind of putting the artists they want together with the songwriters that they know can deliver, because then you know that you get songs that people will like, but with that, you also get these songs that has six or seven songwriters, and it's kind of the same. We had two songs that were written on the same day by the same team, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And that's a fun fact to mention, but it's also kind of like, this is an industry where people, you know, okay, we write a song and then we have the morning coffee, and then we write a song and then it's lunch. And then we write a song, and then we have an afternoon tea, and then we write a song, and then we have dinner and a glass of wine.
Can you tell us the two songs that you mentioned there? Or was that hypothetical? Was that genuine?
No. It was Tina, remind me.
Maria Sur and Liamo.
Thank you. Because Tina one mentioned was, this in
yeah,
the broadcast.
One was written in the before lunch, and the other was written on the afternoon, the same day.
A very successful day at the office for those songwriters, of course. We could spend a hell of a lot more time chatting about that and so many other elements of Melfest. But shall we have another quick mention of Eurovision? It is a matter of, it will be a matter of a few weeks away, won't it, very soon. And we've talked about Marcus Martinez's chances, but generally the excitement levels around Eurovision being back in Sweden. I'm looking at the screen. I've got three Swedes looking back at me, and their mouths, their smiles are beaming because Eurovision is back in Sweden. Just can you try and sum up just how much it means to Swedish people to have it back? You can all try and do it for me. Tina, do you want to go first?
I mean, for me, it just feels like we know how to do the music element of it the best. And of course, it's the Swedish crew that usually produces it, and when it's hosted anywhere else as well. But then, for personally as well, I am so glad to see Petra on stage again. It will be exciting to see Malin and her debut as a host. But for me, it just feels like this enormous, fantastic, lovely, fun music competition being back on a Swedish soil and with Pietra hosting it is just win, win, win.
Completely agree.
Was that a completely agree from you as well, Bella?
Yes, I think we just feel so proud. Swedes take Eurovision and Melody Festival very seriously, and we are so happy that we managed to, you know, send Loreen and for her to win, as you saw yesterday in that big moment where she just sort of stood. We said in our commentary, please be standing for our queen. I mean, that was the feeling. It was royalty. I mean, everyone is just so proud and so happy. And I mean, we like to be good at things, right? And we are good at Eurovision. And I think that's the feeling. We're just super happy and excited. And also, I think proud to be like a host for the world as well, for people to come to us and for us to sort of have a big party together. Yeah, proud and happy, I think, sums it up.
Definitely. I can't add anything more, but I'm blabbing away anyway, just because I want to hear my voice.
Okay, well, let me put one final question to you, Toby. We've mentioned Petra, who is, of course, back again for the third time, but we've also got the return of Edward Afsilian as well, who will be...
The pressure on his shoulders right now, the agony he must go through to try to outdo himself a third time.
And can he do it?
I can't imagine. He's a friend of mine. I've been speaking a little bit about this, but I also don't want to ask him journalistic questions because I want him to be my friend. But I can just I don't do interviews.
I know what you mean.
With him.
Yeah.
But I can just imagine what's going through his mind now. But I with that, I think. The fact that he has Marlin in there as a new element that changes the dynamics a bit, and that makes it probably a bit more fun. He needs to find something that makes both Marlin and Petra shine. So he's not there to outdo 2016 or 2013. He's there to do a completely new setup. And I think that's kind of the key for it to work out. But the fans' expectations are so high right now, and I'm one of them.
I thought it was funny. I saw a tweet that was like, it's nice to see that Mons kept his outfit from Peace, Peace, Love, Love for yeah. Bjørnson yesterday. I just thought of that when you were talking to Tobbe. We have to mention Bjørnson. I mean, how good was that?
Listen, my true winners, the only one that I really wish that I could have voted on was the one that I would have breached my contract for to vote on would have been Bjørnson, my love of my life. Jesus, I screamed because I missed all of their rehearsals. I couldn't be there for any of their rehearsals. So the first time I actually saw them on stage was on the final show. Oh, it made my year. It was glorious.
Bella, did you know that was going to happen as well? I got a message from somebody asking if you actually knew, and Tina, if you knew. Tina, you said you found out on Saturday.
Obviously, I did. Sorry.
I was like, do I keep the illusion up? I'm glad they asked, because that made it, maybe they weren't sure. So obviously our act was very good.
Very good.
Yeah. We didn't get to like rehearse it a lot because I only saw the like postcard, like I think 15 minutes before the show started. So I was frantically trying to like put the order that they appeared in so that we could say it, but you know, but so it wasn't a surprise, but like it was very, their reaction was very natural. I didn't need a script for that. It was wow.
Did you enjoy it, Toby, from your point of view? Please say yes.
Absolutely. But thing is, no. But the thing is, I during the broadcast, I have too much work to do, so I can't focus on a lot of the things that goes on that is not competition. So I have rewatched it after, and I will rewatch it again because there are so many bits and pieces that I want to enjoy from it. And since it wasn't part of the dress rehearsals before, because normally I get to see those acts during the dress rehearsals, and I can kind of enjoy them then, but during the broadcast there's so much going on in my head that nobody wants to think about, so I'm like, oh, something happened, I don't know. It's kind of like that, but it was amazing.
Okay, one last question, because we've all talked for far too long. I need a one word answer from you all, and I'm going to go to Tina first. Where will Sweden finish in the Eurovision final?
Oh no. Okay, one word answer.
I've never seen such horrified faces in front of me before.
No, this is agony. This is agony for me. I don't want to jinx. Whatever, I'll say fourth.
Bella?
This is really difficult. I want to say one, but I'm going to say fifth.
Toby?
So here I go, and I have to be the. I'm going to say seventh, but that makes me the evil one here.
Aren't you always, darling?
Thanks, Tina. Love you.
Living up to your reputation, Toby. Oh, the three of you, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for being on three episodes of Melfest Monday this series. You've all been an absolute delight. So Tina, Bella, Toby, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And I suppose that is just about it for Melfest Monday in 2024. I just want to take a quick moment to say thanks to you for tuning in week after week. As you know, Rob took a back seat on the series this year, so you've had to put up with me, but it has been an absolute joy from my end. Our journalist guests have been wide-ranging and insightful and opinionated and super helpful this year. The artists as well, who found time to chat to us, have been an utter joy, and hopefully the last 7 weeks have helped you feel closer to Europe's favourite national selection. As I said earlier, it doesn't stop there. We'll be back on Wednesday to continue our build-up to Eurovision 2024. There is, as you probably know, plenty to talk about. In the meantime, you can keep up to date with us online. We're at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can email us hello@eurotrippodcast.com, and you can read all of our exclusive stories on eurotrippodcast.com. Plus, if you'd like to say thanks and support everything we do here on the podcast, you can head over to Buy Me a Coffee to donate a few pounds. It really does help us bring you these episodes week after week, and we are always forever grateful. You can head over to buymeacoffee.com/Eurotrip Podcast to do that. And also, make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, and rate us 5 stars wherever you're listening. But from me, James, it's goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford Tough, Built Ford Proud.